the best real estate agents don't make $1 million. The best marketers make $1 million. And whether you think that's fair or not, there are definitely going to be people who are like, yeah, I know, I'm aware this crappy agent in my market is getting more deals than I am. But the reality is that's probably happening because that person is more effective at communicating a value proposition and they're a better marketer than you are. And so I think that there's an opportunity for that kind of cream to rise to the top and for us to see kind of a new generation of top producers, if you will, that are really going to kind of grab up. It's not forever, but I do think that there's an open window or an open door right now.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Sam here. If you're in real estate, one of your superpowers needs to be marketing, marketing yourself and marketing the properties that you list. So it's marketing we're going to be talking about today. And my guest is Listings Lab founder, Jess Lenoval, who is a marketer at heart and the best-selling author of More Money, Less Hustle, Becoming a Seven-Figure Real Estate Agent. Jess was a successful realtor for more than 15 years and built a multiple seven-figure business. She's now the founder of a coaching program called The Listings Lab, which helps agents do what it says on the tin, which is win more listings and scale. So Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes. So everyone would have just picked up your accent then, but we were just talking off camera for a little while and you lived in Australia when you were young.
I did. And I had a very cute little accent when I was about 4. Lost it very quickly though. I'm actually from Canada. So Americans think I sound like I'm from Minnesota. Canadians don't really know where to place me, but I feel like Australians, you get the Canadian accent.
Yeah, we do. We do, I think. And now you're based in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Yes. Amazing. So we're going to talk about the book in a moment because I would like to take a deep dive into that book, More Money, Less Hustle, because it's something that's been quite close to my heart. But can you first tell me a little bit about the Listings Lab? That sounds pretty interesting and just a little bit scientific. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I founded the Listings Lab in 2018. It was really the program that I wish that I had always had. Up until that point, I had had to figure out the digital marketing world kind of by myself and by going to other industries that were doing it well and bringing back what I learned into the real estate space and then testing and trialing and seeing what was working and what wasn't. I really didn't feel like there was a program at that point that took people in real estate specifically from start to finish in terms of everything that they needed. I would find these bits and pieces. I could find programs that did one thing or another, but I couldn't find anything that kind of brought it all together from start to finish. So that's why I founded the Listings Lab. It was kind of out of, well, if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so at the time I was living in Toronto, I moved to California. So I moved to Los Angeles to, at the time, all the big digital marketers were all living in LA. So I moved to LA, I immersed myself with that community, learned as much as I possibly could from them as well. Also in terms of how to scale a digital business, because I'd been in real estate for 15 years, I could teach the real estate side of it, but I didn't know how to run my own business from an online platform space. So moved to LA, founded the Listings Lab, it grew very quickly. And it's been kind of the core of our business ever since. We have multiple layers of programming and things like that now, but it still sort of remains the core. It's been iterated multiple times, of course. Things have changed since 2018.
I love the name actually, because, you know, in marketing, like everything's a test till it's not.
100%.
Yeah. And the Listings Lab really sort of speaks to that. It's like, oh, well, I'll do this, I'll experiment with this thing or this thing or this thing. And then when it works, then scale it.
Yeah. And I think that that's such a good way to look at it, because I think so often in real estate, I call them random acts of marketing. right? A lot of people in real estate, they don't have anything that's consistent and predictable. And so they have a lot of business and then they work only with those clients and they ignore their marketing for however long. And then the client pool dries up a little bit and then they say, oh no, and then they panic and then they do some sort of marketing. And so they're always kind of riding this roller coaster of, I don't know, I guess not really knowing where the next client's coming from. So with the way that we approach this is, yes, everything I teach is going to perform and the messaging and the ads that are going to work, and it's all going to be different market to market. There's no one size fits all for any person in the real estate space. So because everything that we teach is very much geared towards attraction marketing and not necessarily just here's a whole bunch of phone numbers and email addresses, now go hit the phones. That's not what we do. So because it's all very, very much based around psychology and attraction marketing, what ends up happening is that everything has to be customized to you, to your market, and to the demographic that you're actually trying to attract. So yes, to a certain extent, everything is a hypothesis, then an experiment, and then an iteration.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me, actually, because again, comparing markets, like some people sort of think it's heaps different where you are compared to where I am. But what you were just describing then, I always say to people, what you're listing now is directly related to what you did 30, 60, 90 days ago.
Always.
Yeah. And you can't sort of afford to take your eye off that ball to just continually list and then not prospect.
It is different to a certain extent. I actually think that there's some things brewing in the States right now that is actually moving more in the direction of how you guys do things. But marketing is marketing.
Yeah.
And even though the actual execution of the service that an agent actually performs is different from Canada to the US to Australia, we have people all over Europe as well. It's different every place you go. The actual marketing itself actually isn't that different.
Yeah, it is, because you're still marketing yourself essentially and the properties. Yeah. So let's go back in time and let's get these Aussies to get to know you a little better. So I was reading that you actually have real estate in your blood and your mum was in the industry for over 35 years. So what in the beginning prompted you to embrace a real estate career as well?
Well, I think to a certain extent, we all like fear becoming our mothers to a little bit, right? And I mean, I never thought that I was going to go into real estate. And I grew up to a certain extent being dragged around. I was, you know, always in the car. I remember when she got her first car phone, this is going to date me, but when she got her first car phone and it was like attached to the car, and I just never really thought that it was for me. But I came out of university. I went to the University of Toronto, came out of school and didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was really sort of useless degree, like so many people have, and didn't have a ton of clarity. So my mom actually suggested, why don't you get your real estate license and just see if you like it? And I thought, you know what? Why not? I'm 21 and she's going to feed me business. Or that's what I thought. So I got my license and I'm very introverted naturally. My mom is not. My mom is very extroverted. She's the life of the party. Everybody loves her. And I've kind of grown out of it. I'm 40 now. But 19 years ago, I was pretty shy. And so I was taught cold call, door knock, flyers, billboards. That's the way that you go about getting business. And I think I door knocked 3 times. And I had someone chase me down a driveway, yelling at me, telling me not to trespass. And I thought, if this is how I have to build this business isn't for me. So I got creative. Facebook was this brand new thing. This was 2005. So Facebook was founded in February of 2004. And I was like, well, I'm going to figure out how to use this thing that all these young people are on and see what I can come up with. And so I built my business initially on Facebook when no one else was doing that because I was so shy. And it was the only way that really worked for me and that I never felt like I was running out of steam. So I was able to be consistent in a way that if I had had to do the cold calling, door knocking, flyers, I wouldn't have been able to be as consistent because it's just so difficult for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes total sense. And I did listen to another podcast with you where you said how much you hated door knocking and cold calling. And I would be the same again, because I'd much prefer to attract people to me. But just thinking about the early days of Facebook, that's like a wow moment. And you would have got it all for free, because now
100%.
It's really hard to get reach with Facebook now that you've got to kind of pay for everything.
Yeah, back then, Facebook was just a classified section and your wall. Remember when we used to call it your Facebook wall?
Yeah.
That was all that it was. So I would go into the classified section and search out people who were looking to buy or sell or rent. And I would start conversations with them and start giving them value and getting to know them. And it's funny, because even to this day, almost 20 years later, I still sometimes have those same people come back to me who bought with me or sold with me 20 years ago almost, and say, I know you're not in real estate anymore, but can you recommend someone? I know you're not selling anymore. I know you don't live here anymore, but can you recommend someone? Because I'm the only person that they've ever worked with.
Yeah. You just reminded me of the good old days of Facebook, when it wasn't all dog videos and ridiculous cooking shows, but we'll get to that in a moment. You've said a lot that leads are the lifeblood of a real estate business. You need to be generating leads. And I'm not sure if it's the same in Canada or even the US, but a lot of coaches here will kind of teach agents that they need to farm an area of about 1,200 homes, or even look at it in terms of, well, how many houses do you want to sell? How many houses turn over in that area, and then reverse engineer it? I think traditional methods like cold calling and door knocking and flyers are a bit on the way out. And if someone offers me free appraisal again, I might scream, because I don't know when the last paid appraisal was. It was probably back in the dark ages. But what do you think about agents marketing themselves? Like, what's really working at the moment?
I love that you brought up that kind of, we call it geofarming or zip code, postal codes, things like that. I don't teach that way. The reason why I don't is I really believe that that was the most effective way to market before we had the internet, because you had to be consistent and frequent in order to stay top of mind. And the only way to do that was manually, was cold call, door knock, flyer, billboard, essentially be physically in front of those people as often as you can. But when you do that, let's say that you think about one area, maybe it's 1,200 homes. Within those homes, you could have people upsizing, downsizing. You could have first-time buyers. You could have people that are investors. There's no way to use effective psychology in a geofarm area. So we like to build or create audiences in a different way, where we're going over a larger catchment area, but we're niching down or niching down or targeting in a different way in terms of who are the people and what's the demographic that is actually moving and what kind of move are they going after, so that we can actually create more effective psychology. And that's really the only way, I think, to attract, as opposed to just carpet bomb people with vague messaging, which is really all you can do when you're going after a location. Because again, there's so many different psychological profiles within that location, it's almost impossible.
You know, I'm just thinking, if you try to market to everyone, you may end up marketing to no one, because you don't actually speak to someone's kind of heart and soul.
And there's so much noise out there. And so it's so easy to just get filtered out with all of the noise, with all the other people in real estate saying the same things, claiming the same things, talking about the same things. It's really easy to just sort of get ignored.
Now, I've heard you say there is zero marketing competition for you if you do it right. So tell me a little bit about that.
Maybe that's not forever, but I think that right now there is a huge amount of opportunity for agents who are going to become marketers, because I think that we're also coming into a time, absolutely everywhere, where deals aren't falling from the sky the way that they used to. And because of that, there's a lot of people who have been in real estate because they thought it was easy that are going to get out. I think that we're going to see a transition everywhere, that there will be fewer people who do things very well. And because of that, I think that there's a unique opportunity right now to really grab up that top of mind awareness or that market share. The way that I talk about market share isn't necessarily the same way as most people. It's kind of like brain market share, where people, when they think real estate, they think you. And I think that there's that unique opportunity right now. And there's no one, or there's very few people, that are doing it really well. So if you do it really well, and if you do stop just thinking of yourself as real estate agent or estate agent, and you start really thinking of yourself as marketer first. I mean, I say this all the time, but the best real estate agents don't make $1 million. The best marketers make $1 million. And whether you think that's fair or not, there are definitely going to be people who are like, yeah, I know, I'm aware this crappy agent in my market is getting more deals than I am. But the reality is that's probably happening because that person is more effective at communicating a value proposition, and they're a better marketer than you are. And so I think that there's an opportunity for that kind of cream to rise to the top, and for us to see kind of a new generation of top producers, if you will, that are really going to kind of grab up. And like I said, there's a window. It's not forever, but I do think that there's an open window or an open door right now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sort of thinking a couple of things while you're talking there, because I'm sort of thinking, well, AI is probably going to impact that significantly. Like agents that can use AI well to market themselves, that's probably going to impact. But also, I still think we've got a bit of a hangover. As much as I've sort of talked about niching down during my time, I still think we've got a lot of people out there that sort of think that they have to chase everything, because if they don't chase everything, then they might miss something. And so what would you say to those people that are afraid to sort of pick a market like that?
I think that there is an entire generation of very burnt out people in this industry that are tired and have been taught, and I was one of them. I remember the very first interview that I ever had for a team that I wanted to join, and I was a baby. And he said to me, every single phone call could be $10,000. And I remember thinking, that is not the way that I want to behave in my life. Because there was a period of time that I was afraid not to answer the phone. If my phone rang at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would roll over and answer my phone. And I think that not only is super unhealthy, but is also, you're building a business out of scarcity and out of fear. And people can feel it. People can feel that desperation. And again, like when we're talking about attraction versus chasing, you can't do both. And this is going to be a little woo-woo, but the energy of both is very different. And I think that all human beings, to a certain extent, are like human lie detectors. And we can feel if someone is desperate. And, you know, I think every single person who's been in the business for long enough has gone into a listing presentation or gone into a meeting with a vendor and sat down thinking, I need this business, and not gotten it because they felt something off from you, because we can feel it. And so it's the same thing in your marketing. If you're chasing everything, you're actually not giving yourself the space to actually attract what it is that you really want to be attracting. Dan Sullivan has this quote. I think it's Dan Sullivan. And it says, entrepreneurs who are too tightly scheduled cannot be transformed. I think that's so true. I think what we do is we fill our calendars and we chase business, and we're so driven by the scarcity of, I don't want to miss anything, that we miss out on the opportunity to actually attract people. And honestly, what kind of a business sounds easier to you? I mean, for me, all day long, I would rather create one-to-many marketing rather than chase every single lead down until they tell me to go away. It's just a very different way of doing business. And I mean, in my opinion, one is far more attractive than the other.
Yeah, I love the way that you just explained that, actually, because that's probably going to hit home for a lot of people. I was watching something with Seth Godin the other day too, where he said, if you're not physically recommending someone go to your opposition, then you haven't niched yourself down far enough. He said, you've actually got to get that far that you're actually going, well, I don't do that,
but that person, but so-and-so can probably help you with that better than I can.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's get on to a couple of tactics. I just said, someone sends me another free appraisal flyer, I might scream. Give me three mistakes that you think they make in their marketing that you wish that they would stop right now.
Okay. So this is actually pretty easy for me. I'm going to focus just on digital marketing, just because that's kind of my wheelhouse. So number one, I would say all the just listed, just sold, under contract, all of that kind of billboardy type content on social media, it doesn't work. And it's kind of filtering you into that noise that I was talking about before. And I think that the main reason why people do it is because it pleases the vendor, but it's actually not going to create any real tangible value for the audience. There are websites that if somebody wants to see what's available for sale that they can go to. And so they're not going to your social media profile to see what's new on the market just from you. So that would be number one. Number two, we already kind of touched on it, which is if you try to speak to everyone, you speak to no one. And so the vague messaging of I'm here for all of your real estate needs. In North America, we get the I can help you buy, sell, rent, and invest from here to Timbuktu, right? Like it's just so vague. It feels scarce. So the vague messaging. And then I would say the third one is really not doing good market research, because so many people create their marketing or their messaging in a vacuum. They go into their office, they sit at their desk, and they think, what does this audience need to hear from me in order to choose me? Instead of just going out to the audience, and I use the analogy all the time of you're looking at Mary across the street and wondering what Mary wants for lunch, instead of just walking across the street and saying, Mary, what do you want for lunch? Because the message will always come directly from the market. And we can teach you all the psychology. And I teach a 9-point psychological journey from stranger to client, but I can't map that with you if you haven't done the market research, if you haven't gone and actually spoken to your ideal client base and figured out what those pains, problems, fears, and desires actually are. And so I would say that that's probably the third biggest one.
Let's pick up on that one, pains, problems, fears, and desires, because I actually just wrote a blog post on that last night for some odd reason. Another thing I would say is there's a lot of features in real estate marketing, but what you're saying, so I just want to get this clear to everyone, is that you really need to go and interview a few customers, ask them questions like why they chose you or why they didn't choose you, and then try and develop some messaging from there.
Also, understanding for your target niche or for your target demographic, understanding what's driving their moves. Why are they moving? Is it school district? Is it property size? Is it backyard for the dog? Are they downsizing because they want less maintenance and they want something so that they can travel more? Really understanding that, because none of us move because it's fun.
No.
The actual act of moving is absolutely terrible. So the only reason why we do it is because there's something in our current situation that we think that we can make better by moving. And so that's also part of the messaging that we really need to understand, because people make decisions emotionally before they make them logically. And so if you can have someone say to you, I feel like you're reading my mind, or I feel like you're listening to the conversations that I'm having with my wife, there is instant resonance that is created there because they feel understood by you, and really good marketing. So there's this misconception, and I think real estate is even more guilty of this. People in real estate, I think, have a misconception that really good marketing is having your ideal clients understand you. But it's actually the opposite. Really, really effective marketing is having your ideal clients feel understood by you. And so by doing this market research, they are literally telling you what you need to say to them for them to feel emotionally connected and seen.
I'm just going to pause for a second there and let that one sink in for everyone, because I just think that's gold. That's so important, especially having your clients feel understood by you. It's such an important differentiation between the usual sort of shouty marketing that we sometimes see.
Yeah.
So speaking of shouty marketing, some people feel like they need to shout a bit, because there's a need to be everywhere, because like I said earlier, we're way past the good old days of Facebook, where you used to get organic reach. And now literally we are competing with clickbaity videos, someone's baby walking for the first time. Everyone sees my cute dogs in my Facebook feed all the time, because they are literally super cute. How do you cut through all that noise?
So I think that Facebook is a bit of an animal in and of itself. I'm of the mind that business pages on Facebook organically are going to be the worst reach that you will ever get on any platform. So the way that I like to think about the different pieces of the Facebook world is your personal profile is going to have the best organic reach of anywhere on the platform. Your business page is going to have the worst. So the way I treat my business page is, yes, I post content on there. I don't expect many people to see it. It's really just there in case somebody lands on it and wants to binge something. But it's where all of my retargeting ads, all of my nurture campaigns, all of what we call omnipresence campaigns, where they live, because they have to live somewhere. And so everything that ends up being an ad lives on that business page, but I don't expect any organic results from it. The other thing too is I think there's this misconception that you have to be everywhere. You have to post on every platform and you got to be on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and LinkedIn. And that's not true. The reality is depending on the niche that you're trying to target, they will, as a generation or as a collective group, they will spend the majority of their time on one or two platforms. And so one of the best things that you can do is just become really good at creating for those one or two platforms. And email. Email is a non-negotiable. But if you do that, then you don't have to create for a million different platforms. YouTube, for instance. YouTube is like the new thing that everybody in real estate feels like they need to be a YouTube star. And the reality is in most markets, YouTube isn't going to get you a lot of traction unless you specialize in relocation. So for you, for instance, let's say I wanted to move to Byron Bay. Where am I going to look for what is life like there? And how do I buy real estate there? And what do I need to know? I'm going to go to YouTube for that. And so chances are...
That's a good choice, by the way.
I picked it because if I was going to move to Australia, where would I want to go? But I think that that's exactly the perfect demographic to target on a platform like YouTube. But so many people are trying to get local business from a platform that's not where local people are actually going to look for what you do.
Yeah. So you've got to look for the high intent platforms
depending on who you want to talk to. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's talk about email. You just mentioned email, and that's another one of my favorite topics. What's your best practice advice for sending emails? Like, I've heard different things from different people. Some people say you shouldn't send too many emails because people unsubscribe. I mean, I have my own theory on that, but I'd love to hear yours. Like, how often should you be nurturing your database via email?
So I like to separate my lists into two. I have what we call like your database, which is past clients, referral partners, those people. And then you've got your cold audience that have maybe come in through a Facebook ad or come in from some sort of freebie or a download or whatever. And those people, you don't know them, but it's still a really valuable audience. Because if you think about it, let's say that your email open rate is 35%, which is a decent email open rate. You're not going to get 35% of your audience seeing your Instagram post. So email is still the best place to get eyeballs on your stuff, but you have to be sending valuable emails. And the times that you get the feedback of you're emailing too much or I'm unsubscribing or whatever is mostly either the people who are in your email list, you're not relevant to them, or your emails aren't good. Because if your emails are really good, people want to read them. I've had people tell me that they have a Jess Linnevel folder in their Gmail. And so they pull all of my emails into there so that if they can't or if they don't have time to read them when I send them, they can go back and reread them, which tells me that my emails are good. So I think that what ends up happening is people use their email like a billboard. They're still just sending out listings. They're still just sending out boring old real estate stuff. And the reality is that people, I mean, I don't know exactly what the stat is for Australia, but I do know that in the United States, the average time between moves right now is 8.5 years. So people are moving on average every 8.5 years. If you only talk about real estate and you only send out listings and you're only talking to that top 3% of the market that is ready to move now, you're only relevant every 8.5 years, which means you are going to get a tremendous amount of audience churn. And even the people who love you are going to unsubscribe or unfollow you because you're not relevant, or they're not going to interact with anything you do. And then the algorithm is going to believe that you aren't relevant to them and they're not going to show your content to them. So I think that's one of the other reasons why creating personal content or personal driven emails or community driven emails or things that are going to be of interest to people in between the 8.5 years is just as important, if not more important, than the real estate-y stuff.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, because it's almost not until you're in real estate mode that you want to start learning about the market and you want to start learning about what's been listed. Like, if you're not thinking about moving, I mean, I was in the same situation last year. I wasn't thinking about moving and I wasn't reading anyone's emails. And then all of a sudden life changed and all of a sudden I was reading everyone's emails. So, you know, I was lucky I didn't unsubscribe between then and then, because
And I think that there's so much opportunity in email, but I'm not a really big believer in all you need to do is send out a monthly newsletter or a boring market report. I think that there needs to be that emotional connection that I talked about before can also be built through email. And the more places that you can be connected to those people, whether it's Facebook and Instagram, and if you work with young professionals, LinkedIn is still a really, really great platform. But if you're working with people who are retired, guess what? You don't need to post on LinkedIn, right? So figure out where you need to be and do the top two platforms plus email. And if you can connect with those people in all three places and you can create value in all three places, that's enough omnipresence to stay top of mind. And especially if your stuff's really good, then you really can't really lose.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about AI for a moment. What sort of a game changer do you think AI is for real estate and particularly for marketing?
I think it's a huge time saver. I remember when I first started creating short form, real TikTok-y type content, video content, how long it took to edit those videos, to put the captions on them. And I used to have to send them to a transcription site and then it would come back. And then I would have to put it into a caption site and I would have to edit it. And then I would have to animate it. And then I would have to cut the videos and I would have to change the lighting. And it was so much work just to produce one video that was supposed to feel like it was off the cuff. And so now I use an app. Most of our clients use an app for short form video content called Super Creator. And with Super Creator, you can type out some notes about what you want to do or what you want to cover in the video. You throw it into Super Creator. It will turn it into a proper script with a teleprompter. You read it. It will edit it. It will cut it. It will caption it. It'll animate it. It'll fix the lighting. And then all you have to do is download it and post it. You can post it actually directly from the app, but I don't do that because I don't think Instagram and Facebook like it. But imagine you can do in 3 minutes what used to take an hour. And that's just one tool. I think that so many people get so caught up in the ChatGPT world that they are ignoring all of these other AI tools that are just making our lives so much easier. Every single time I speak on stage, I ask the conference or whatever for the video. I take the video, I put the video into a program called Opus Clips. And Opus Clips will create 20 short form videos for me that I can play with and edit, and they create perfect TikToks and Reels. And I didn't have to do any of that work. So you don't actually have to be techie anymore in order to be a really good marketer. Once you have the understanding of the psychology and, like I said, the pains, problems, fears, and desires, and all of the stuff that's driving that stranger to client journey, you no longer have to have all of these other skills because AI has essentially done it for you.
Yeah. What do you think about the avatars and things like that? It's probably likely I'm going to throw this video into Opus Clip too. So
yeah,
watch out for those. But what about things like avatars? Like, I've created my own avatar. She's a bit creepy.
Mine's creepy too. Mine doesn't look great.
Yeah. And there's a bit of lip syncing, but I've seen it get better and better and better over the last 12 months.
So I've recently bought an Apple Vision Pro.
Oh, wow.
And I've just been playing with it. It's one of the coolest things I've ever played with. But there's an avatar. So I FaceTime my mom every day because she's in Canada and I'm here. And so when I FaceTime my mom, if I have the Vision Pro on, it's my avatar that she's talking to. It's not actually me. And they're not perfect yet. That's for sure. I do still think that there is an element of humanness that we still crave. When we think about social media as an example, social media platforms are social networking sites. And I think, again, that's why the super billboardy type content doesn't perform there, because it's kind of against what people go to the platform for. But if there's something that feels a little bit off, like an avatar, even if it's very close, there's just this unease that people feel. There's something that feels off. So until the avatars are like perfect, I think that there's this realness and this authenticity, and people want to watch videos and interact with people who mess up their words every once in a while and say and like, and they're not looking for perfection. They don't want this perfectly curated image, which I guess for a lot of real estate agents, that's really hard, because this idea of being professional has been equated for so many years to being perfect, but they don't actually match anymore. People want to feel like you're their best friend. They want to feel like they want to spend time with you. And so I, for all of my videos, I'm always of the mind that if I want to lead, I've got to go first. And so I record tons of video like this, my hair in a bun, no makeup on, with my glasses on, and I allow it to be about the message and not about what I look like. And do I get trolled for it? Absolutely. But the people who love me, and the people who don't, never were going to.
That is actually a key message of this whole conversation today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I could talk to you for hours, literally, but I would just like to ask a bit about the book, about Sure. More Money, Less Hustle. So that's available on Amazon.com. And I think this is really interesting because there's a great conversation that's been going on in this country anyway for the last few years about the hustle mentality and the million-dollar agent mentality and that sort of thing. But even though that conversation has come a long way, we've still got agents that are doing 10, 15-hour days. What sort of advice would you give to those people?
No one can work effectively for 15 hours a day. I went to a conference in Houston, Texas last year, and one of the CEOs of two of the largest mindset coaching companies in the world, he told us about an experiment that he did. He called it the 4x4. And he said, I was working 15-hour days running these two companies, and I challenged myself to only go into the office and leave my computer there for only 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. And he said, guess what? Everything got done. Nothing changed. So it just meant that I was being so ineffective for the rest of the time that it was wasting so much of my life. I am a really huge lover of tech and automation and efficiency. I think that there's a lot of inefficiency in the real estate world, which is, again, I teach marketing a specific way because it's the most efficient way to market. I teach business building and client delivery and everything that we do in a very specific way so that it feeds the life that you want as well as the business. I'm a really big believer that when we all go, hopefully it's when we're 105, that at the very end, we're not going to be laying there surrounded by our family thinking, wow, I really wish that I'd worked harder. I think that we're not going to remember the two deals that didn't happen. We're going to remember the regret that we're going to have is that we did work too much and that we weren't present for the things that actually matter. So More Money, Less Hustle, the book, is very much geared towards, yes, you can have both. And the maximum amount of freedom that you will ever have actually will come from having both. Because we live in a world where money buys freedom and you can buy back time with money. But I think most people in real estate get stuck at that $250,000 to $350,000 mark. And that's the most painful place to be in your business. They scale to that point and they max out their own time. And then they never scale past it because they don't understand how to hire, how to systematize, how to automate so that they can actually buy back time. Because it's always this balancing act of, okay, I've hit my bandwidth. Now I need to essentially create more time. Then you create more time and then you can create more money and then you create more time. And if you think about it, the most successful people financially in the world don't work that hard anymore, right? And so there's this backwards way of looking at it of where we've kind of glorified or made sexy this idea of the hustle and the grind and the harder you work, like, you know, no pain, no gain. But we live in 2024 and there's all this tech and all this AI and all this automation. And I own part of a real estate agent VA company. And there's ways to do things in very effective, very inexpensive, very fulfilling ways so that you can have the $1 million business and work 3 hours a day. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
So one final question, because we've talked about automation and that sort of thing. Actually, it's my second final question, but the last question is always the same question for everyone. What are the things that you would absolutely outsource? And what are the things that you would absolutely hold near and dear to your heart right now?
So I think that this is going to be slightly different for every person. I don't think that you should ever outsource your marketing. And I think that that is not what most agents want to hear, because that is the voice, the brand, the face. It's the heart and soul of your lifeblood of your business. But I think that for every person, there is this category of stuff that you do every day that you're not very good at and that you hate doing. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's making you miserable. And then there's this other category of the things that you're really good at and you really love doing and is of high value. So it's always this balancing act of, okay, I don't care how much you love it. If it's a $10 an hour job, I don't want you filling your time with it. But if it's something that you absolutely love, you're super good at it, it gives you life, and it's a $1,000 an hour activity, fill your days with that. You are going to live a very happy life and you'll never work a day in your life. But I think that a lot of the time, what we tend to do is we tend to lean on the side of ego and say, my clients only want to work with me. And it makes us feel good. But if your clients always want to work with you, it means you have a marketing problem. It means you have an onboarding problem. It means you have a value proposition problem. Because if you do all of those things well, your business will scale. Like, customer service is actually not a $1,000 an hour activity. So you can have someone on your team do that if you train them well and buy back all of that time so that you can essentially be the CEO or be the visionary of your ever-growing real estate empire.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Jess, I would like to say thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing some of your wisdom with us from scale point of view and a marketing point of view. And we'll leave some listings to both the book, More Money, Less Hustle, How to Grow a Seven-Figure Business, and also to the Listings Lab website, which I'm fascinated by. I'm going to go check it out now myself. Okay. But if there was one question that you would like to leave everyone with, or one thing that you would like everyone to think about, what would that be?
So this isn't my quote. This is my friend Alex's quote, but I think it's brilliant. He says, results don't take time, they take courage. And so I would sort of ask you, what is the thing that you have been holding yourself back from doing? Or what is that one courageous step that you can take that will move the needle in your business?
Amazing. Jess Lenoble, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast. With thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.